Morning, brothers and sisters. We recently talked about saints in one of the seminars. So if you're there, you'll know that that means that we are true believers. And we are each a saint. So I thought that as the return of Christ is near, we should perhaps look a little closer at what the meaning and the responsibility of everybody or everyone who is called a saint. I myself had not really thought much about it in my everyday life. But how do we express the divine title of saint? By a way of life. The word saint in the Greek is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, and it means set apart, separate, or holy. And this is used right through the New Testament. But funny enough, it's different in the Old Testament. Of course, it's a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word there is chasid, C-H-A-S-I-D. This has the meaning of to be kind of pious, or it is the other word that's used is quadish, Q-A-D-A-S-H, meaning to be separate or set apart. So they're different in both cases. Remember the man who was in the synagogue, and he was possessed of an unclean spirit, recorded in Matthew. And he says to Jesus, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The word holy there is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S. So that means separate, apart. Same brothers and sisters, to be like Christ, we too are holy ones of God. Doesn't that make you pause for a moment at the enormous responsibility? Holy ones of God. So then we need to know more than just a definition of the word if we are to express it faithfully in our everyday lives. And the one book in the New Testament which expresses the complete portrait of a saint and is most helpful is Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Now usually Paul's letters dealt with problems with different ecclesias. But in the letter to the Ephesians, there's a difference. He does not concern himself with any special ecclesial difficulties or problems. There's no salutation or greeting to a person. Ephesians 1 verse 1 reads, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus." And some of the old manuscripts do not have "who are in Ephesus." So it reads, "To the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So I've got a hypothesis for you, seeing Leah's not here. I believe that Paul wrote the Ephesians, but he intended it to be a circular letter read by them and passed on to other ecclesias in Asia Minor. Remember, Paul was imprisoned in Rome at the time, awaiting judgment. He was free to see friends and could still preach the word. And Paul's confinement gave him a great opportunity and a time for study and meditation. And so he was able to bring this conception of the calling and life of the saint and unity with the Father and Son, so filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul then writes of the beauty and the power of the divine purpose with the saint, which was conceived before the foundation of the world and is to be consummated in the age to come. Right through the book of Ephesians, we are shown how a saint should think and live, how we should meet all the challenges we all get in our daily lives. By following the footsteps of Christ and drawing from our Father the power and comfort which he will daily provide, if we will let him, we have to try and adapt our life. Our relationship to spiritual things is a great part of our training for a life to come. And above all, the saints, that's you and I, should walk as the children of light in this dark, troubled world. You could say that Ephesians is a book that tells us about how to be a saint. In chapters 1 to 3, Paul deals with the broad principles of God's purpose with the saints. The gospel opens speaking to the saints and the faithful, and then it says in verse 4, God has chosen us, that's you and me, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's a very high standard for us to achieve, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And then in verse 11 it says that we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 17, we have a prayer from Paul with two requests, that the readers of this epistle have a spirit and revelation of knowledge in God. Verse 18, Paul gives three reasons why he makes this request, so you might know. The first is, what is the hope of his calling? The second is, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints are? And the third is, what is the exceeding greatness of God's power to us? Moving on to chapter 2, verse 8. Speaks about the saving grace of God, which helps to make a saint a saint. And in that same chapter, in verse 80, one of the greatest spiritual blessings, and there are many more, is that through Christ we have access to our Father. In chapter 3, verse 16 to 80, we will be strengthened so that Christ will dwell in our hearts, and we would be able to fully comprehend and know the love of God. Beginning at chapter 4, verse 1, it is linked to the previous chapters by the word, I therefore. And we have seven signs of the saint in an active role in verse 1. It goes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here's the seven. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. There are seven signs, and as you know, sign seven is a sign for completeness or perfection. We have another sign of the works of saints in the same chapter of Ephesians 4, but in verse 12, verse 11. And he himself gave some of the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. What for? For the equipping of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now we have two chapters left in Ephesians. We have another sign in chapter 5 showing saints, showing us How we should walk, chapter 5, verse 1. I've used NIV for this translation. Verse 1, chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Remember that, loved children. Dearly loved children. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For if of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The next sign of saints is in the chapter 5, verse 19, and it speaks about singing to God in praise. And then in verse 20 it says to give thanks to God always for all things, and through Jesus Christ his Son. In the 10th verses, between verses 22 through to 33, it speaks of marriage and the conduct required between a husband and wife. The spiritual life of the husband and wife is likened to Christ and the Ecclesia. So do we all have a saintly marriage? Because it applies to us all. Aren't we all together the bride of Christ, waiting patiently for our bridegroom to return? And so we go to the last chapter in Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. The way of this spiritual life of the saint is shown in the relationship between parents and children. Got no children? Doesn't apply to you. Wrong. We are all the children of God, aren't we? Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And remember the quote we read before? To be like dearly loved children. Continuing then in Ephesians 6, verses 5 to 8, we have advice to the servants. Of course, that applies to us, probably more so, for we are bond slaves, not just slaves employed for salary. We've been bought with a great, great price, the blood, the Lamb of God. The next quote is in verse 9 of chapter 6. That's to do with masters. Well, again, that includes us all. For if we are true servants, then we are masters of our own destiny, aren't we? Enough said. And now the last sign for us as saints is the one that tells us we're in a war against the powers and rulers of the darkness in the world, and that we should arm ourselves with the armour of God that you have given us. And they are the truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the word of God, all with prayer, humbleness, and perseverance. In this epistle of Ephesians, Paul shows us the incredible fact that the glory of the saints is parable, though not equal, to that of Jesus the Messiah. Like Jesus, the saint is from the beginning. And I was going to say he is the Son of God, but we have to include sisters here, so I'll alter the gender and say they are sons of God. Their glory was conceived before the world was. They are a light of the world, They have been foreordained to an inheritance and will finally enter into unity of glory with the Father. The Ephesians is the story, the origin of the life of a saint. It's a portrait of persons so busy with the life of the truth, looking to help others. They have no time for selfish desires. They are blessed people. Such a one was our brother Paul. Paul was so filled with the majesty of sainthood that he accepted his trials thankfully, because his Lord had done him such a great honour in calling him to be a minister. He, of all people, realised the magnificence and the power of the calling of the saint, and he knew that no price of life could compare with the honour of being a saint. Wow, what a privilege it is for each one of us to be saints. God has blessed us so very, very much. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend why. But he has, brothers and sisters. Is this really true? It's hard to believe, isn't it? If you believe the Bible's true, it's there. It's so hard to believe. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God. Hey, that's us. For the children of God to be revealed. And Romans continues in verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love God. Brothers and sisters, you love God, so God loves you. Those who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, you and I. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 35, and this is marvellous. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, or hardship, or persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? And these next verses are so well known and inspiring. I believe that they tell you so much about St. Paul and his character. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us rejoice in our calling of saints and strive to have the Spirit of God in us, that we might continue to walk in the truth and be ready for that glorious return of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Hallelujah.